I wish you all, colleagues and State Secretary, the warmest welcome to our seminar today. It's a seminar arranged by the Expert Group for Aid Studies and the launch of the new fresh report, Sweden's Development Assistance to Health, Policy Options to Support Global Health 2035 Goals. This afternoon, we'll hear two of the authors of the report present their findings, and we'll hear two additional perspectives and comments and round up with the panel discussion. My name is Julia Schalk. I'm a member of the expert group for Aid Studies. I also am a senior policy advisor at RFSU here in Stockholm. I will do my best to ensure that we have time for questions from you. But if you want to make sure that your questions are received, you can also use the hashtag and Twitter your questions to #AbaSeminar. The Expert Group for Aid Studies is an independent group that's now been existing since 2013. The Expert Group is led by 9 members, and we have a secretariat. Its mandate is to evaluate and analyze Swedish development cooperation, and we do this by commission, compile, implement, and communicate, as we do here today, evaluations and analysis. And we do this to contribute to a wider and deeper knowledge base for policymaking and to the public debate on development issues and aid. The working model is largely based on what we call a dual independence. The expert group is independent toward the government, and the authors that commission the reports are independent towards the expert group. Today, I am very glad to say that we will discuss development cooperation to aid. Almost a year ago, the Lancet Commission on Investing in Health published a report that suggested that, with the right instrument, dramatic health gains could be made by 2035. They suggest we'll see levels of child mortality in today's low-income countries drop to levels that we see today in the best-performing middle-income countries. We will see, they suggest, a grand convergence. At the Expert Group for Aid Studies, we of course found this very interesting and a very important contribution to the discussion on what aid can do in a changing world. So we set out and asked the authors to dig a little bit deeper in what their analysis would imply for Swedish development cooperation for health and suggest a number of policy recommendations that could be useful for Sweden, but perhaps also for other donor countries. And today we have Gavin Jamie and Jesper Sundevall here to present the report. And you might disagree or agree with the conclusions, but we all hope it will stimulate a discussion on the future of Swedish development aid to health, and maybe even aid in general. But before we move on to this interesting topic, I think, I'd like to give the floor to State Secretary Ulrika Modir. She'll give introductory remarks on the topic. And I'm especially glad that, from what I know, it's the first time we hear the new government talk on these issues in public. So I'm very glad that you've chosen to do this here with us. Thank you, Ulrika.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm also very happy to be here. And previously, before I became State Secretary, I was working in the Green Parliament's parliamentarian office. And I know that one of the important things that were discussed during this period was how we should work with evaluations and independent evaluations to really get to know much more about our work in development cooperation. This was discussed in the Committee for Foreign Affairs. So I'm really happy to be able to be here one of the first weeks to get to know the work of the of EBA much more. And of course, it's interesting to be here to discuss this important and forward-looking study on global health. This is motivating not only because global health is one of the key strategic priorities for our development cooperation, but also because there are a number of general lessons that we can learn from these kind of evaluations. Sweden invests substantial resources in global health and in other areas that are priorities in our development cooperation. And, as I said, to assess and evaluate the results of these resource allocations is very important to us, and independent evaluations are a very useful tool for political decision-making. This study will enable us to reflect on both what we have achieved so far, but also how we need to change and the way we work and engage for the future. The world is rapidly changing, as Julia said, and we as international partners, we also need to change. Global challenges require much more than traditional aid. What we need is to build global partnership, shared responsibility. This will be part of the new global development agenda, mutual respect and solidarity. Today, 60% of the resources that Sweden invests is in health through development cooperation. It is spent on service delivery. This means that million women and children in low-income countries will have access to immunization, ARVs, malaria treatments, and other kinds of essential health services. It has contributed to rapid decline in child mortality, malaria deaths have fallen, and millions of HIV-positive people are surviving. And these are, of course, fantastic developments. However, as the world is changing with economic growth and reduced poverty levels, also in many of the low-income countries, the need for financial assistance for health service delivery will possibly decline. But instead, we will see the need for another kind of partnership and support. We will need an increased demand for development cooperation that focuses more on effective political leadership. And also, and this is an emphasis that the new government will put, we will also give emphasis to the support to institutional capacity and also to accountability to the institutions. For Sweden, support for policy development and advocacy will always be a priority. And I am particularly proud to see that we have a long-standing commitment with the work for sexual reproductive health and rights. And this is something that we know that the previous government has worked for and that we will continue. This is, of course, one among a number of set of key priorities. The report that we will get to know better today points out the fact that we are moving towards a situation of convergence. This was also meant by Julia. Both in terms of positive development in reducing morbidity and ill health, but also escalating new challenges for all countries across the world. And let me finish with two concrete examples that has to do with concerns very close to the heart of the Green Party. One of the major health threats today is air pollution. Air pollution alone is estimated to kill 9 million people per year. The increased level of pollution is not a risk factor associated with any specific part of the world. Active transportation instead of car use does not only have positive effect on the environment or the climate, but also on people's health. My second example is on food and food production. It is not aid in a traditional sense that is going to ensure sustainable food production and healthy eating and living. As the report points out, the so-called non-communicable diseases such as diabetes linked to obesity are some of the major health challenges that we see in front of us. In all parts of the world, also in the developing world and in many of the middle-income countries, resources will be required, but they will not be sufficient. We also need a bold political leadership, empowered people to be able to tackle these new challenges with regard to health. Because what we can see is that what is good for health is also good for the planet. And what is good for the planet and for the climate is also good for people's health. So because of this, and because of the great concern that Sweden has had in the area of global health, I'm very happy to be here and to be able to learn from the study and to share the experiences with all of you. Thank you very much.